are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast, where the truth is told. On today's program, we have a gentleman named Eric Lipton. Eric, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Leo.
Awesome. Listen, the last time we spoke, well, we actually spoke, I guess, on the phone a little bit, but I saw you was at the Natural Olympia.
And, absolutely.
Yeah, I was telling one of my partners, asked, he goes, who's coming on? And I said, Eric Lipton. I said, you might have remembered him because I'm pretty sure it was you. So he was a guy that was running around the Olympia with a camera, and I still think he was in it. He was still in his posing trunks. That was you, wasn't it?
Yes. That was absolutely me. Right, I've had some of the funniest pictures. I see it in the background all the time with me wearing posing trunks, bending down, taking someone's picture.
When we were in the booth, we were going, that guy just really loves what he's doing. You can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just having a ball.
It was wild how that kind of started. Back at the 11 Olympia, I brought a camera. Just to capture the change in bodybuilding. You know, it used to be, I found it to be kind of a rough environment in the old days. People weren't nice to each other. No. All of a sudden, the camaraderie was starting to appear. So I got to capture some of this. And then I found out it was a great icebreaker to meet people on top of everything else. So many people, they were kind of isolated in the old days. No one talked. All of a sudden, it was a chance to meet everybody. Yeah. And then it turned out to be a great way to showcase the change in bodybuilding, the positive nature of, especially natural bodybuilding. And I just continued with it. I didn't know how to shoot pictures at all in the old days. I've learned over the years. I spent a lot of time learning and then editing and that kind of thing. But main thing, I'm just trying to show the positive nature of it and the beauty of it, the well-aging properties, everything that I see in front of me, I want to bring to the public. So for me, that's the best way to do it.
Well, I think it's important. I mean, when I was there, because I'm that guy that came from, you know, the 90s when we were competing, and I was sitting in that booth, and I go, there's something that's just so different about this, you know? And so to be able to capture that, what you're saying in a photo, I think means a lot because that is a picture paints 1,000 words or says 1,000 words.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And if you can do that in a photograph, which I'm sure that you can, by the way, thank you for the photos that you took with Tony Pearson. Yeah. I got one of those. And then also I was up on the stage there. So I really do appreciate you doing that, you know, but So I see here in your bio, you're originally from,
Gaithersburg, Maryland. Maryland, yeah.
So what brings you out to San Francisco? Did you come from Maryland to San Francisco?
Yeah, my father moved when I was in my, you know, early 20s out. My parents moved out to the Bay Area for a job, and I came with them. Not knowing Northern Cal was different than Southern Cal, but I always wanted to come out here with bodybuilding in mind when I was younger. So it was unreal. And that's kind of how I found the IMBA was, it was ABA back then. I saw a poster on the wall in the gym when I first got out here. And that's how I found all of this organization. I had competed before, but that's how I discovered natural bodybuilding out in the West Coast.
So ABA at that time, Denny didn't have that then, did he, or did he?
He did. It was Denny. Oh, it was Denny.
Oh, okay.
And there was a big poster for the Natural Universe, 1990. So I called up Denny. How do I qualify for this? Yeah. You got to go compete next weekend. And I hadn't competed in a few years. And then he picked me up. He got someone to pick me up at the airport. He let me stay at his house, all that kind of thing. And right away, I knew he had vision. You could see that right away.
Yeah.
And had all sorts of events tied into the Natural Universe, which was the top show back then, as before the Natural Olympia.
Okay.
But you could see that he thought big back then. He was trying to make it international already back in 1990.
Yeah. What did ABA stand for?
American Bodybuilding Association or something along those lines. Amateur Bodybuilding Association. That's what it was.
And it was it a natural organization at that
point? It was. It was natural. It was tested. I believe he started it in 88. And then, you know, I wasn't there for the first couple of years, so I just moved to the, you know, the Bay Area. But it has been going strong since then, and it just keeps growing. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I was very, very impressed. Now, you have a BA in International Studies and a Master's degree in Occupational Therapy. So how did you, and why did you choose that?
Occupational Therapy? was working, let's see, I'm trying to think in healthcare. I was working as a psychiatric technician years ago. Kind of a violent place, but I was working. Got injured one time, and then I discovered rehab. You know, I got to go to physical therapy. So this is for me. I like this. And then that's how I kind of got into the rehab field. My wife ended up becoming an occupational therapist. And so she convinced me to take a look at that instead of physical therapy. And it's been a fantastic career, but both are great.
Yeah. So the, that was a occupational therapy, or the therapy that you got had was before you started training then.
Oh no. I'd been working out since 1978.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been training since 78. What happened there, I was just, you know, a little, it wasn't a major injury or anything like that, but I needed a little bit of physical therapy, and they really showed me that's the direction. It really tied in. It was much more similar to my interests. And so I've been able to pursue that my whole career one way or the other.
Yeah. I like to find out like the path that people go on and how they get to where they're at now, you know? So like with
I got
into bodybuilding because after being an athlete in college, man, I was like all of a sudden in the worst shape of my life, you know? It's like, holy
crap. Yeah.
And back then with me and the sport that I was in and the position I played in, believe it or not, they didn't believe that the guys, they call them the guys at the specialty positions, like quarterback, ends, you know, the receivers and that kind of thing. They didn't want us in the gym. I mean, we'd get penalized and punished if we got near the gym. It was all for the linemen. So, you know, I didn't have any kind of background in weightlifting or anything like that with regard to being in sport, believe it or not. And so I got into it because I turned out to be I got fat. You know, I was in like the worst shape of my life at 27. And one of my buddies hadn't seen me for a long time, and he saw me. He goes, "What the hell happened to you?" I go, What do you mean? What do you mean? You know, sometimes you can't really tell how bad a shape you're in when you keep looking at yourself and you got a really strong dose of denial. I thought I was okay, you know, but obviously there. So how did you get into weightlifting and then bodybuilding?
That's a good question. And by the way, I had the same experience. I was a baseball, as a pitcher. And it didn't match as well for me. They told me not to lift weights as a pitcher, especially back then.
Yeah.
And it's true that I think I was a better, you know, I couldn't lift during the season. I don't know how these guys get so big and still throw, because it didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. But what essentially happened, and my father gave me some exercise to do as a kid, and he didn't say how many to do. And I did them all day till I hit 100 of everything, push-ups, sit-ups, whatever it was. And I was like 10 years old or something like that. But I knew I loved it from the start.
Yeah.
And what happened at 13, I just started with push-ups. I started with one. And I always had one a day until I reached 150 in a row. And I just loved it. You know, I always knew if I could do 78, I could do 79 the next day. I knew that, you know, I had that drive. So I intuitively always wanted to work out. I knew when I played baseball, I never wanted to stop practicing. And here's a chance for me to do, you know, keep exercising as long as I wanted to do it. And to this day, it's the same situation. You know, it's something that you can do when you want to do it.
Yeah.
But I just knew it was for me. Like, if you told me now, I'm 54, that I'd be still training hard and loving it, I would have assumed, yeah, of course. It wouldn't have thought anything of it back then. And in fact, one reason I've stayed natural all these years, I knew that I'd still be doing this when I was older. Yeah. I just knew it early on. For whatever reason, it called to me from day one. When I was watching Arnold and Franco back in the 75 Olympia they had on the Wide World of Sports back then. It was before Pump and Iron had come out. And I remember watching it and blown away with what I saw. I didn't think I'd ever be able to step out on stage like that. But but I remember being fascinated with that. And Alexia back in the 76 Olympia, you know, lifting and all that. So we were all watching all that. But wow, I'm still doing it after all these years. I love it.
Yeah. Well, when the bug bites, the bug bites, that's for sure. Going back to talking about the athletes, how big they are and how they can actually play baseball, I can answer that question, I think, for you. When I first got into training athletes, because, of course, I got into bodybuilding because a friend, my buddy, told me I should get into the gym. And I learned it like maybe you did, through magazines and photos.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, reading and stuff like that. And then it turned into bodybuilding. But then one of the aspects of training that I got into was sports-specific training for athletes.
Yeah.
Because at that time, when I was coming through, it was more coaches were just had their athletes, you know, like in high school, some of the gyms, and even colleges back then, they were doing primarily strength training. And there's the components that have to be present for athletes is endurance, strength, and power. Those are very different. Power yeah. is explosive type training. So the differences now is, and why these guys can be that big and still be agile, is because they've got those different components. They're not just doing pure strength, because pure strength yeah. makes you stronger but slower. So I think that's a lot of the reason why that's happening, because yeah, these guys are specimens, aren't they? Wow.
Yeah, unreal. You know, you mentioned receiver. I was watching this Seattle's receiver the other day, rookie receiver. Oh, he's an absolute monster.
Metcalf?
It's hard to believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to believe that that guy, I mean, he would have been a lineman in the old days. You
seriously.
Know?
And, yeah, it's amazing.
Unreal. So you're right. I mean, these guys across the board are tremendous athletes, every single sport. So it shows you this training has gone, you know, to all sports.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's sports specific. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing as far as throwing. I was probably doing tons of bench press and things like that. And yeah. No rotator cuff, the kind of things that a pitcher would do.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing.
And then what ends up happening like that is, you know, those are good intentions, but sometimes they create unintended consequences, like muscle imbalances, which is
yeah.
like probably was going on with you. You know, you're working the show muscles there, but
yeah,
the backside of that, you know, that's a very good point. But yeah, no, the sport, not only the sport, but just the information. It's like everything else. You know, as we go along here, you just learn more and more. And of course, there's no better way to learn this than being in the gym and putting thousands and thousands of hours in and repetitions. And, you know, and that's where just a lot of people don't really want to put that time in, and which separates the people that actually get on stage compared to the ones that dream about it, you know, and just, you're a personal trainer. So let's see here. You started training in 78 at 41. So I'm assuming that then there, shortly thereafter, you became a trainer then, right? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Or actually, I was 78. I was only 13. So I've trained 41 years.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But no. You know, I did start working in the gyms in mid-80s. But I didn't become certified as a trainer till 98.
Oh, okay.
And what happened, I was in grad school for occupational therapy. I took a class on exercise and mental health. Blew me away the amount of studies showing the effects of long-term activity, exercise, cardio, weightlifting, and how it affects the way you age. And I thought, I've got to get out and promote this. And as much, you know, so I was mainly working as a trainer instead of occupational therapy at first, because now occupational therapy works well with it, because we really teach lifestyle a lot of ways. So it fits perfectly.
Yeah.
But as far as the training, I felt a need. I had to go out and promote. And it wasn't necessarily for athletes. I was mainly training the average person, because the huge health benefits going from sedentary to moderate.
Yeah.
You know, you still get benefits from going elite, but really I needed to go out and promote that. So I still try to when I can. I mean, it's really important to me, because it just totally changes a trajectory of how you age.
Yeah.
You know, this doing this thing. So.
No question about that. So when you became a trainer, then did you start your own business as a personal trainer? Did you work in
Little bit. I was working for a company. It was definitely high-end clients, CEO types. And then I would work some on my own, had some clients of my own.
Yeah.
But then when we had a baby coming, at the time, I was like, I'm never home. So I switched to mainly to working all the way healthcare, or primarily healthcare, because I needed a more steady kind of lifestyle once the kids started to come. And it's worked out very, very well.
Yeah.
I miss promoting that though.
Yeah, that takes me back to when I got into the sport, talking about stability. I'm Portuguese, and Portuguese have dairies, and the kids are supposed to run each generation is supposed to take over. And I was a generation that was the black sheep of the family in that sense. You know? Yeah, so and unbelievably, when I started this, it was 82. And when I decided that I was going to become a personal trainer, I freaked my wife out. You know, I'm 27 years of age. No one was doing it in the area, you know. So when I mentioned that I was going to do this, because I got bitten by the bodybuilding bug. I had just competed in my first show, and And I love being in sport, not on a dairy, you know, the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
And I took a leap of faith, man. And I tell you what, it was scary. It really was. And there were some really, really scary lean times. I mean, I had to like fall back and I'd be a short order cook for my wife's dad, you know, whatever it took. But I made that commitment, and that commitment has served me well as learning the sport of training and nutrition and all that. It's fascinating, you know, when you actually put yourself through that. And that's the best way to learn it, when you go try to teach some of your clients that you're working with, you know.
So, oh, yeah.
And so how many years did you personally train them? Just a few?
Full-time was only a few. I mean, I still maintain my license or license for OT. Yeah. And, you know, back then I was even teaching the certification classes and the continuing education classes for, you know, other trainers. So
yeah.
I was out there speaking about it too, because, I mean, it really is important. It's so important. I got to give a talk to the hospital system here 2 weeks ago as well, which, you know, I love doing that because, and the interest has been unreal. I keep having people come up to me and talk about it.
Yeah.
People maybe who had serious injuries in the past and they're really interested in really taking their health up to the next level. So
yeah,
I love to hear those kind of stories.
Yeah. Well, and you know, something that's part of the reason why I got into my own personal training studios was basically to share that experience with other people and learning from how I learned it, because I learned it from the ground up first, you know, again, magazines and actually doing it myself. And I always felt that it was a lot more, there's more value there for me as well as to the client when I had done all this myself. So I could basically let them know, you know, here's what you might feel. And it for me, it gave a, you know, it made me legit in their eyes because they thought, wow, how did you know that, you know, type thing. And of course it just, I mean, you're a specimen. You're what, 54 years old? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And you look great. And you're definitely, you're definitely somebody that can inspire.
Thank you.
You know, the hardest part of this thing is it's kind of like diet. It's like a lot of people get into dieting or diets, and it's very short lived because it's not it's not user or lifestyle friendly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that when I competed, I was natural for a while, but I went ahead and made that choice to, mm-hmm. you know, go the other route.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that, I mean, even though it was a way of life, it was pretty intense. And, you know, I don't know. It seems to me like the natural bodybuilding is more of a way of life than sort of the direction that I went in. And yet I'm still in it 38 years later. But I just think that what's important, that it sounds like what you're doing, is teaching a way of life, you know, which includes all those facets. I mean, when you're talking to your people, I assume that you're not only talking training, but you're talking like nutrition and all that.
Nutrition, sleep is also a huge one that I'm sometimes deficient in, but even that makes a big difference. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And even, you know, with the experience, you know, how to do it, how to balance when you've got a busy lifestyle.
Oh yeah.
The whole thing, all the stages of life, you know? So I've done it through all stages of life, being a kid, you know, going to school, having kids, you know, we've been in caregivers before, you know, like taking care of family, and then still find a way to get some sort of training in all periods of life, whether you're on vacation too, and those things come in handy to teach people, hey, if you only got 10 minutes, you can do, here's something you could do.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. So well, absolutely.
Know, one of my blogs, I talk about that the motivation has to be greater than the obstacle.
Because
basically life is just a bunch of obstacles, you know, and opportunities, but you're faced with that. So it just depends on how, you know, what kind of motivation that you have. And unfortunately for a lot of people, those obstacles get in the way, and it just, you know, I mean, to get on stage, you know, it's a very small percentage of people that will happen. But I tell my people that come to my studio, I said, look, you know, it's an extreme. It's a pinnacle to some degree. But look, there's a lot to be said for feeling better and being healthier, you know, and that kind of thing. So I think it's important to teach that side of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. It's very rare to get on stage. And again, the huge benefit from just going from sedentary to moderate Yeah. Even if you never hit the state, I respect anybody who's trying to do any of this exercise. It's great. Yeah. And even slight changes in your diet actually do make a huge difference, especially for health. Yeah. You know, you have to go a little bit more extreme for hitting the stage, but really, yeah. It all makes a big difference for longevity.
Yeah, you know,
and health.
Yeah, and I tell you something that with diet, and a lot of people, you know, we all have our opinions about certain things.
Yeah.
One of the things I profess and I've always talked about is that like when you come to my studio, my program revolves around three components: weight training or resistance training, cardiovascular conditioning, and nutrition. And those are the three components that have to be implemented throughout a program. And the more that you can implement those, you're going to get a better result. But mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times, and this is where I disagree, I think, with a lot of people on, is that people say, well, diet is 95 or 99% of, you know, that. And I've heard that quite a bit. And I actually disagree with that. I think that actually the most important component is training. And how do you feel about that as far as...
For me, it's training. Yeah, you know, training. It definitely is training for me. As I get older, I have to pay a little bit more attention to diet than I did before. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think I can't have as much carbohydrate. Like, I mean, I had a ton when I was younger.
Yeah.
I still eat them. I still eat them year round, but probably can't eat them like I did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I have to pay a little bit more attention to diet. I mean, I'm natural, a little bit more of an ectomorph where I can get away with a little bit, I think, yeah. eating, but then health's a big deal too. But really, I agree, for me at least, the training is with weights is the most important thing. I can get carried away by doing too much volume, too much cardio, and too much diet. You know, that can go that extreme sometimes.
Yeah.
But I find that if I... even if I don't do much cardio, if I'm doing those weights, as far as for muscle, it'll still look good. I know you need, at least for me, I want to do some cardio for the heart.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, how it makes me look, probably a little bit better, but it's mainly, I do that more for the heart. Yeah. But so the same with diet. It makes a difference for how you look, but it is also a big health component too. But I do think if you're trying to build muscle, at least for me, I think the weight training is the most important factor for me as well.
Yeah, here I have, and my reasons for it is this. First of all, when people come in to see me, the hardest of those three components is diet. That's the hardest one for them to follow of those three components. So what I would tell them, I said, look, I don't really care what you're eating when we first start. I just don't want you to change the way you're eating. I want you just to, I said, are you currently eating in a way where you're slowly gaining weight? Because if you are, that's good for me to know. But if you're maintaining weight and just over time, you've just been getting in worse shape because of atrophy and all that, I just tell them, I don't care what you're eating. I just want you to go on a weight training program and be consistent with that. Because this stuff for a lot of people is just too overwhelming. For you and I who've been around it forever, it's a little bit different. But sometimes we forget where we started. And I always tell my trainers that when we're working with a clientele is, don't forget, you know, half the battle for them, for some of these people that come through the door, is just getting through the door because of being intimidated. Because I remember that on a different level. I was very intimidated when I did a photo shoot in shape at Gold's Gym in Venice where all the pros were.
Oh, yeah. Well, that could be intimidating. Well, yeah.
Hugely. And then, you know, here I was in pretty damn good shape for that, you know. So the very same thing applies to somebody that comes in. So the worst thing that you could do is overwhelm them. You know, sometimes you can have too much information. You've heard that expression before.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing is, I've always asked myself, okay, if I didn't have if I didn't do any weight training, there's no possible way I could put on muscle by just simply doing a great nutrition program. It wouldn't happen. But yet I can actually put muscle on and have a sort of a half good diet. But the training, so that has always been my view on that thing. And I hear so many people say, well, you know, diet is the number one. And I think they're all important. But in my opinion, I think it's the training component and everything else works around that. They're more of a supporting cast in my view.
But it's probably for the average part. I think, you know, maybe competitors say that because they just assume that they're training hard and doing everything right. And for a competitor, that small difference for diet does make a difference.
That's a good point. I never think things all the way through, Eric, as you can tell.
No, but you very, very good point, though, for the average person in the gym. That's exactly right. They just get them to come in there.
Yeah.
It is a huge deal. There's a great book. It was Confessions of an Unlikely Bodybuilder, I think it was called, or something along those lines. The guy was so afraid to go in the gym. And by the end, he's enormous and competing, you know, against top people. But it was really his story, and I've seen that many, many times. It is an intimidating place for most people.
No, it is. It really is. And then, you know, people come in with baggage. You know, they have low self-esteem. You know, they don't think they can. I heard so many things over the years that I actually never really thought of because I wasn't that person, even, you know, at my lowest, at my worst shape. But when you start hearing people say, well, because I asked them when I do the consultation, so why haven't you done this before? Or, you know, it's been either a negative experience that they had in the gym or with a trainer. And some say, you know, I don't think I can do it, or I feel awkward. You know, I never really, really paid close attention to that until I started seeing clients of all walks of life. And then you start becoming more emphatic or more sensitive, empathetic, I should say, insensitive to that. And I think that's really important. I mean, even like when you're talking with people, even if you're not training them, I think it's important to make them understand that, you know, there's a lot of misconception in the industry, even to the point where, you know, a lot of people think that the diet, of course, the word has a negative connotation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and just people think, well, I can't do this because I can't do the diet. So they don't even try, you know? So I think it's just really important, like guys like you and me that are out there teaching people and trying to give them some good information to make it seem and that they can do it, you know, that it's possible.
Absolutely.
For them to get, you know, 3 hours a week, you can get a lot done if you know exactly what you're doing. So, okay. So when you started competing, did you go right from when Danny said you have like tomorrow to compete or whatever, did you just jump right in right there? Is that when you're
well, no, interesting for that one, at least what was wild is that one reason I ended up really starting to think about my wife as a possible someone to marry. I was dating her back then we were just dating fairly recently at that point. And she encouraged me, go ahead and do it. Sounds great. And I said, oh my God, she's supportive. This is awesome.
Yeah.
But what happened, actually, my first show was 1984. And it was my 19th birthday. Somebody, my friend Matt Aish, who I know you did some training with Tom Platz. He had a similar kind of physique with just great physique with enormous legs. I mean, unbelievable. Still, you know, out of this world legs. We went to the Olympia and everyone was looking at him, you know, because his legs look crazy looking. Yeah. But anyway, so he convinced me the day before a show. I've never seen one in person. I just saw the Olympia in 75 on Wide World of Sports. That was it.
Wow.
And, you know, he talked me into doing it the night before a show.
That's incredible.
I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and he gives me his shorts. He weighed like 200. I weighed 140 something. I'm hoping they don't fall down in front of everybody. And it was wild. I didn't realize that people were taking, you know, drugs. I did not know that, you know, so I go to prejudging. I know, you know, I was very tight. I was tightly conditioned for just walking around back then, but I was out of my league because people were taking steroids. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were much bigger than me and the crowd was enormous. We have, it's like, you know, 1,000, 2,000 people.
Holy
sold
cow.
Out.
And that's your
first bigger show. Than you see. Yeah, first show. And what they did, they introduced you, and then in the, you know, after prejudging, I knew that these guys are huge, right? And like, oh my God, I was scared out of my mind. Huge crowd. And then they introduced everybody, hit one pose, go out there, hit one pose. And I'm the first guy because I'm the shortest guy. And then someone yells, "Where's the beef?"
Oh man,
1984. You know?
Oh so man,
can you imagine that? It was the Wendy's commercial, right? So, and people are laughing and all that. So I go back, you know, and I had to wait to do my routine, which I didn't know how to make it up on the spot. And I was so scared. Well, I actually placed okay. You know, I didn't even do that badly. But that became a driving force for me all the time. I'd go to the gym. Where's the beef? Where's the beef in my head? And I still didn't know why that I didn't have that beef. I mean, I was, you know, 19 years old and I was natural and the other people older and on supplements. Right. And it would have helped if I had a tan too. So it was just a crazy experience, but actually I stuck with it. And by the next year it was unrecognizable to the point that the guy you yelled at, I never would have known because there was 1,000 people in the crowd. He was laughing at me saying, "Oh, last year someone was out there." I said, "Where's the beef?" He didn't even know it was me.
Really?
Cause I got so much bigger. The thing was, and he wasn't in shape. He, you know, if I would have known that, it would have been, he was just so out of shape. He was just taking it out on somebody, the first one who walked out on stage. But instead of like shrinking from it, it actually helped to drive me every day in the gym when I was younger. That was a crazy experience.
Well, no, but you know something? It's like, because I ask that all the time. I ask, how did you get into it? And, you know, there's something that's sort of unique about that and that makes you want to take that step. But what I don't get is that you didn't know how to pose or anything, right?
No, no.
I mean, that's insane to do that, I think.
Now I think it's insane. And I've heard lots of similar stories over the years because I've written a lot for the magazines and people tell me their story. And a lot of people sort of did something similar. Oh, but it's crazy. It's crazy. Thinking about it now. I can't believe it.
And one of the things that I flash back on is I was training at a gym. And at that gym, the guy I was getting, I wanted to compete in a bodybuilding show. And the guy that owned the gym, he really knew his stuff. But like you, I responded in a way. He said, well, he goes, based on your physique, because I'm wide-waisted and I'm like a more of a, as far as a build's concerned, more like a Dorian Yates or a Mincer, you know, wide hips. And he said, you'd be better doing powerlifting. And I thought, oh, I see. Well, that just motivated me to show him, you know, type thing. And to be honest with you, he might have been right, actually. You know, when I got into the sport-specific training, one of the things that I had to identify for athletes is to make sure that I am training them specifically for not only a sport, but also for the position of the sport.
Yeah.
You know, you can be a great athlete, but if you're in the wrong position, it changes your chances of going further, you know?
Right.
Just took that mindset and said, well, I'm going to show him. Well, you know, turns out that it actually worked out for me. But man, for my first show, I practiced hours and hours of how to pose. And you just went up there and they winged it, huh?
Yes.
And
yes,
you were a white guy, just really white guy.
Pretty white, yeah.
those that compete know what I'm talking about. I mean, you got to be dark on stage, right?
Oh, I know.
You were just one big glare. You're a shining light, weren't you?
Unreal. I did not know what I was doing. But look at the pictures. I did not look terrible despite all that.
Oh, there you go.
And I had enough potential. But you're right about, you know, what is this sport even, you know, my genetically, you know, was this the sport for me, the division? That's a great question. You mentioned powerlifting. And for me, you know, if I had come up now, I might have gone physique just because being a little bit leaner, you know, and I've done some of the physique divisions, but now those guys are enormous too. It makes no difference. Yeah. They're just as big as bodybuilders. It makes no difference.
I know. It's kind of morphing into it. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. These guys are huge. I mean, I'm shocked at how big they are. But, you're right. I mean, whether this division was for me, it's from the beginning, maybe not, but I stuck with it and I loved it. And it's been an unbelievable adventure.
Yeah.
Because that was coming up on 36 years of competing. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is crazy. Now you're saying when you started, you had divisions, right? We didn't. you were in bodybuilding or women's.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or no, couples.
Right. There might've been short class or something. Now there's more divisions, but back then there was not. You're exactly right about that. And same with women, there was just bodybuilding. There was no, you know, figure or bikini, any of this. It was just bodybuilding.
Yeah. So when I take a 13-year layoff, I decided to come back again at the age of 56. I just really wanted to see if muscle had memory. You know, so I thought, what the hell? I get this wild hair sometimes. And when I went back and competed, I competed in, I believe it's either San Diego or LA, one of those. Pretty good show, pretty big show. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this? Board division and figure. I was like, and this is like a brand new world for me, you know. And then of course in the IMBA and PMBA, if I'm saying that correctly, they have even more divisions.
A lot. They do. And I'll tell you what it's added. I think that part of that change of the positive nature backstage, it was a lot more inclusive.
Yeah.
And a lot of people maybe, you know, weren't as hardcore joined and were welcomed. And so I think that it's become a much more welcoming environment. I think that's part of it. But IMBA, PMBA has so many divisions, physically challenged. They even have, you know, standing, seated. And they've got age groups for everything. You've got even divisions where if you go to a show where somebody maybe has lost 100 pounds and they've got, you know, they've got a division for that. So everything you can think of. And that inclusive nature has been unbelievable. And the physically challenged has been, that's always been my favorite as far as and see that people have had unbelievable things that maybe they wouldn't have been considered sports as something they could really go towards, especially at this age as you get older. And yet they're heroic in the stuff that they've done. So, yeah.
Well, and I think Denny's smart. I think he's a visionary because, you know, that's his unique selling point or selling proposition, in that now you're bringing a lot more people that think, wait a minute, I can do that. And
yes,
and I think that's a real huge positive, you know, for the sport, because look, I love bodybuilding and I love all aspects of it. I really, even like for the people that are on, you can't take away the work that they actually have to put in, you know? Yeah. And so I never take that away, because I was one of those guys, but I do appreciate the fact that they had to do the work as well. But I think that that side of the bodybuilding is always will stay more of a cult sort of following. It's never going to really expand because of the things that you and I are talking about. And I noticed that when I was at the event, and I've been talking about it ever since when I was there, because I kept thinking, this is so different. And then I realized that it was the camaraderie. It was all that, you know, people were just coming together for, I mean, look, that doesn't take away from the fact that those people aren't any more or less competitive than anybody else, because they were. And the bodies that were out there proved that. I mean, there were quite a few of the classes that were just, I mean, how can you judge that? It was
very hard. I mean, I've judged before. It's very hard. I agree with you. I judged along, and I'm shocked at the development of people after all these years. Still, you're exactly right. The camaraderie is through the roof. It gets more, people get tighter every single year. And it is a world family. Like, I've got friends from around the world now from doing this. And we keep in very good touch. People still do their best. They still do their best. But I've had a lot of people room with me that I'm competing against. Like, it's the way it is. And we're tight. I saw Ken Ross was on your show last week, and he said it very, very well. When you walk in, it took him 2 hours to get, you know, to register, to walk to the front. It's exactly right. I have told Denny that I would pay the whole thing just to go to registration, because all of a sudden it's like a big reunion.
Yeah.
And it's a reunion when no one ages. That's the crazy thing. Everyone stays the same. You go to your high school reunion and, you know, you see everyone looks different over the year. Not at this. They just keep looking the same every time. So, or better.
Yeah.
But anyway, just, it's really worth it just to go to registration, because it's a big reunion and you see everybody and you help each other and everyone. And that's, you know, being friends with everybody, we really help each other and motivate each other to push harder and harder. So, we have this Wolfpack group, we call it, for the over 50. Peter Chazansky, you know, coined that term for us, but it's true. His thinking is, you know, that the lead wolf, everyone's trying to keep up with him, and everyone's really pushing each other to keep up and be better and better. And it's true.
Yeah,
everyone just keeps getting better. So
I loved it, man. I kept thinking, and then when I went up there on stages, I just had to say it to Danny. I said, you know, I couldn't figure it out. I was really interested in being right in the middle of all this. And this is after being out of the industry for 13 or 14 years. And this is the way it should be. You know, when I was in Bulgaria and I studied there with the national Olympic teams. At the time, it was Czechoslovakia, Russia, and Bulgaria were the two big ones. Bulgaria at that point was, but these guys, even then, Bulgaria was so, they were so ahead of their time, because they were willing to share their information, pass it on, you know, instead of holding it back. The Russians were very different. When they knew the 26 Americans that we were on tour there, and when we came into Russia, they took their athletes 2 hours away. They didn't want us anywhere near them. They didn't want us to see them train or they had us talking with the sports doctors and things like that. Where in Bulgaria, I was actually in the Olympic training center with the athletes. I mean, 2 or 3 feet away from these guys doing their training. And I told them, I said, aren't you worried that I'm going to come in? Because I told them up front, I said, I want to write a bodybuilding training course, and I'm coming here to see if I can learn anything about that. They go, we don't care.
Yeah.
You know, we're glad that you're here. And because by the time you get back to the States, we're going to be on to something else. They weren't intimidated by that fact, you know?
Nice.
So they had a camaraderie, I guess the point that I'm trying to make. They had a camaraderie with everybody that no one else had. And that was intoxicating. And that's what took me when I saw the Natural Olympia. It took me right back to those days when I went to Bulgaria. You know, I said, what a smart, you know, people are sharing it. They're passing on the information. They're rooting for each other. And it's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, I really think that this organization has something.
It's true. And it happens every single show. And, you know, I remember 2012, this guy, Mr. Peak, Marco Addis from Italy. First time I met him. And we became close friends immediately. It's like I'd known him my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, and we still stay in touch. And if, you know, when he comes, we're hanging out the whole time. Oh, I think my light went out here. Let me just get this back a little bit. Sorry.
It's all right.
Hopefully it comes back. There we go. But anyway, that's the way it is every single time. I mean, every time. And that's the again, taking the pictures and doing writing. It's been a great way to stay in touch with everybody. Also, you know, right now I've done some articles for Iron Man. Prior to Iron Man, I wrote that we had our own online magazine that I was editor for INBA. And and one thing you learn is everyone's got a different way to do this.
Oh yeah,
it's unreal. The training programs are so diverse across the board.
Yep.
Everyone ends up in the unbelievable shape by the end, but they all do something different to get there.
Yeah. I talked about with people about this. You know, when I first started, I was so black and white about, I knew exactly, and again, this is really early on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like, okay, I know exactly how you should train to put on muscle or, you know, and create endurance. And as I went along and the more training that I did, things almost got more gray than black and white.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things I guess that can be sort of absolute, but man, it goes back to what you're saying. There's so many different ways. I've been interviewed now quite a few people on my podcast shows, and everybody has their own way of doing this thing. You know, even if it like physiologically, there was Tony Pearson. I had him on the show not too long ago. And of course, he's one of the, you saw him there, right? At the show. Oh, you took the photo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's a guy that said he would be in the gym training for two and a half hours, weight training. And I said, Tony, physiologically, you were overtraining. But how do you argue the results that he got?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And it's like, okay, I could say, well, what if you cut it down? What if you cut it down to, because the Bulgarians are really big on this. They said, look, there's no such thing as overtraining if you don't overtrain to begin with. Now, they made a great point. Now, what they did, and again, this is Olympic lifting, but they said you can apply it to bodybuilding. They said they would train 5 times a day, and they would train 20 minutes, 25 minutes. They said it's virtually impossible to overtrain the physiology in 30 minutes. So they said when you go into the gym as a bodybuilder, 30 to 45 minutes. They were so ahead at that point. They were doing blood tests. They pull blood out of their athletes, the ear, and they would find out just exactly how to, the kind of supplements or whatever they were doing with diet to replace it. So they figured out that when the physiology was actually starting to become overtrained. And they said it absolutely does that at around an hour. You could probably get away with going to an hour, but we recommend going 30 to 45 minutes. So when you hear guys, and this is more than one guy. I mean, even the guy, I'm trying to think who else was that trained that way too, but they're putting all this time, but the body has an ability to adapt to its environment somehow, some way. I mean, sometimes you go overboard, but it's hard to really say. I mean, man, a guy like you know, these guys that get in shape and they go against what you would think would be right is just kind of my point for saying it's more gray than black and white because it works for them.
I agree all the way. I like that idea with the Bulgarian. I mean, that's fascinating. And I've actually kind of stumbled upon that too, where I'll, you know, I've got a brief period for lunch here. I'll go train. And then later in the day. And so they're shorter.
Yep.
And I'm just as strong on the second session. No, you know, because of that, you know, because they're brief.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm recovering. So I sort of stumbled upon that in necessity.
Yeah.
Kind of what the Bulgarians say, it really works well. I like that.
Well, they said that basically when you train 30 to 45 minutes, your body can recover within 5 hours. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I took that when I started training my pro athletes because a pro athlete has their off season is a short one.
And yeah.
So a lot of these baseball players would come in, pro guys would come in their off season and to get around their, me only being able to train them a certain amount of time, I would train them twice a day, sometimes three times a day. So when you add that stuff up, by the time they go back, they've gotten a lot of training in.
Yeah.
And I know that some of these guys, at least in the magazines back in the old days, like Mincer and I don't know if Dorian was that way, but they would there was like a trend there for a while where they would train a body part every 4 days. But what they were doing, obviously, was they were overtraining the muscle to the point where it took them that long to recover.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
That was sort of the point that the Bulgarians were making. You know, they were really ahead of their time. 8 years actually, ahead of their time when I went there. You know,
wow.
And they were way more rudimentary about the way they trained their athletes, and it was really fascinating. I mean, they had their diet, their athletes on a high fat diet. And of course, wow. I'm coming over there with the mindset, hey, we and where I come from, we think fat is really a bad thing to feed your athletes. And the first answer they gave me, and I said, aren't you worried about their health? And they said, no. The specific goal is to train athletes to be the strongest in the world, and that's how they have to be fed. I mean, that was their strategy, you know. And yet, have you seen that movie called The Game Changer? It's on Netflix.
Have not.
Yeah.
Have not yet.
I think that, in my opinion, I think it was skewed, some of that information. But they're talking about the plant-based protein being superior, mm-hmm. you know. Again, but it's going to work for a certain group of people. How many times are you competing now on a yearly basis?
It's really varied. I mean, there's been some years where I've done it 11. You know, and I'd say the last few though, it's been just the Olympia, just because of my schedule. I you know, run my department for a lot of years, was in charge of a department.
Yeah.
And, then I was running both the magazines at one point. So I was an overwhelming kind of schedule. So it was really hard for me to compete more often, plus the kids, plus my kids. I'd like to do it more often because I need the feedback. Like, yeah. I think this year, I came in good condition. I was probably a little bit overtrained, and I could have got that feedback if I did a show beforehand, could have backed off a little. Actually, I think I look better now, taking pictures now, like, oh, wow, I'm about 15 pounds heavier. And like, oh, I could have just stepped out like this, but you don't know until you actually get out there. So I think it'd be beneficial. I think, although I've done 11 in a year, I think typically I was doing about 4 or 5 in the past. I think that's very helpful for me if I do at least 2 or 3 anyway.
Yeah.
It gets harder, but if you do pro, there's less, opportunities unless you travel to do the shows. But I think I really do need to do more if I want to be better at it. So
how many days a week are you training now?
Right now, probably still going like 6 because I love it. It's more because I'm loving it. I was getting ready. I was going pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And it's only because of sometimes scheduling. I even take a day off. If I can, I'll go 7 just because I love it. I might have it a little bit easier on one of those days or something. Yeah. But I just love it. So it's hard. I need the discipline to stay out more than, the discipline to stay in. So yeah. I do love it.
And then what's your philosophy on cardio? Do you do any cardio?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to actually do a little bit less because I think I just did too much, for the last show. But I do think I look beyond just the, I know the Bulgarians were talking about they want to be the best. And I'd like to be the best I can be, but within the realms of being healthy.
Right.
And I am older now where I really do think about, do some cardio for your heart.
Yeah.
And plus, I actually do like doing cardio. And some people don't like it. I do like it.
You're a freak of nature, right? Most people look. I've been in the sport and in the industry for 38 years. It's always been love hate. You have a love love. What's going on here?
Love it all. No, it's been good. You know what? I like doing every element of it. So
yeah,
why not? Right? And it's good for you. So
yeah.
But I was a runner. I used to get the runner's high from it too. Yeah. I would get that buzz from running. So.
Well, so and obviously we get the endorphin kick from the sport.
Yeah.
Even though I hated it when I was actually, there were times where I usually got my best results from when I was really struggling to get through the workouts because I don't miss workouts. That's one of my, I'm doing these Instagram posts now and getting back to our serious growth days. Those are some of the training courses. And I said, we had a creed, man. There's like 6 things that we did. And one of them was we never miss workouts. I mean, never, yeah. So even, but then the surprise was when I was struggling, it seemed like that's when I got the real benefit from what I was doing. But I loved it more than I hated it, but it was just, that was always, maybe that was part of what drove me, you know, I don't know. It sounds to me like you're, based on your condition, that you're, yeah, you came in a little bit stringy, a little bit.
I mean, it was, you know, I was close, but I could have been, I can see now, I mean, I'm looking a little bit better this way.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. I mean, each way, you know, you just do the best I can. Usually if I'm bigger like this, maybe I could be a little bit more cut. And if I'm really, really tight, I'm, you know, smaller than I could be.
Yeah.
I haven't found the optimal look, but it surprisingly, some of the times I've looked the best has been ones I have competed spur of the moment, where I competed a few weeks before and then someone can talk to me into competing, you know, hey, can you compete tomorrow?
Yeah.
And it's turned out well. So I think that gives me an idea, okay, don't over diet, don't overtrain.
Let me ask you something, because I learned this from Platts. Do you document everything that you're doing?
Not always. And it does, I don't know if does Platts document everything he does.
Oh man. See, he took me under his wing, because I got to the regional level on my own, you know, just learning, just talking to people.
Yeah.
Know? But I noticed that I was not coming in any sharper, like for a while there. You know, it's like, okay, I need more, somebody who's got more information. Well, it just so happened during this time is when I wrote the book Big Beyond Belief. Platts came and worked for me for a year on that deal. I signed him to our company, and because he was great for the sport.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from him. And he's the one that took me from regional to national level. But yeah, he was big on document everything, because, you know, I was kind of like what you were doing. I wouldn't document. I was like, okay, I'll remember the next time when I do this, you know? And he made a very good point. He said, when you document like that, that way you have a chance to look back and to see what you did. And then you can sort of you're going to make different choices possibly.
Yeah.
And of course, look, I guess it just depends on, I don't know, to the nth degree, means that you pay attention to every single detail.
That's true, though. It's true.
You know, and
if you want to be the best, you got to do the best, you know, everything. It's true.
That's like I tell people, I say, look, it's kind of the difference between, as far as direction is concerned, and a result. It's like me telling you, can you live in San Francisco? And you ask me, well, where is Southern California? And I just point south and I go that way. And you're going to run into LA. Just go that way, right? As opposed to having a map. It just shortens that learning curve.
And I definitely document some. I just don't do every single thing. But it's funny, if you look on my phone, I've got stuff written down where I'll say the weights, the volume, my body weight, all that, you know, what I'm eating. So I've kept some, but not like I could do more. That I guarantee I can do more. The one thing I do, they're taking these pictures. That's one thing I learned, how to shoot pictures of others, right?
Yeah.
I'll take pictures of myself out into difficult to shoot lighting conditions. But that also helps me both to practice posing,
yep,
and also lets me know my condition. That's, yeah, why I know, okay, this weight is not bad for me right now. And I take it at different angles to make sure, because, you know, you can get fooled. It might look good in one pose, but I have to see what does it look like every right position, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. I say, okay, this is still good like this. I need to be a little bit heavier next time. It works. It still works. It's not stage lighting, but it really gives me a good idea.
Yeah.
And I can compare those. I compare. You know, what does it look like coming down to the show? And I see I could have been a little bit, I should have backed off the diet a little bit, but you don't know. And that's why doing another show or two would have helped me, I think.
Yeah. So. And one of the things that attracted me, this is a sick mind that I have. One of the things that attracted me to the sport was it was because it was so darn hard to get it right more than one time. You know, I didn't compete near as much as you. I started later. I started when I was 27, yeah, and in the sport, that's kind of late, actually.
Sure.
Most guys are doing it like 18, 19 years of age. But the, because it was so hard, I found myself like, I'm gonna get this right. And that was part of the challenge, which made it really difficult when I finally did retire. I mean, I did retire at 41 the first time, got out of it, and then came back again and tried it again at the age of 56. I was curious. I have a curious nature sometimes. I was curious if there was muscle memory, and I know for a fact that there is in physiology. You know, once you've started done any kind of exercise at all, it's a forever imprint on your DNA, and you know that. But yeah, it was just that the fact that it was so hard to look balanced on stage was part of the attraction. and maybe the sickness, you know, because I've never gotten over that. I mean, I don't want to compete anymore, but to find something else that I wanted to be into as much. See, for me, I didn't realize how motivating the being up on stage really was until I stopped competing. And I just lost that edge, you know, and I actually like the idea of being in shape. I was never in your kind of shape in the off season. I just, for whatever reason, Eric, it was about getting up on stage, man. That was a strong motivation.
Well, you still look great, by the way.
Thank you. But I found it in another way, believe it or not, is in fashion. It was, I got into men's fashion and I looked at a body type that I wanted to be like, just like I did when I was competing in bodybuilding. I looked at the one that I wanted to look like, and that's been a strong motivator for me. So it's worked. I still go into the gym, and like Platt says now, I'm just an old guy trying to have fun in the gym. I mean, my intensity is nowhere near that it used to be, but I don't miss workouts. I still don't miss workouts, you know? It's a, it's a way of life, and it will be forever. And like you, you understand the benefits of that. I've seen nothing but benefit from that.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I got carried away even with right now I'm lifting pretty heavy, right? And so it's fun. But I got carried away doing – I hadn't done a lot of chins in a while, like not a lot. And I was doing 400 a workout. It was crazy. Wow. Did a set of 60 chins, at 54. And I hadn't been doing them much, right? I hadn't done a lot of lat pulls and with heavy weights and as a similar exercise. But so that was the big challenge, you know, kind of do more and more volume. This past, you know, so you whatever it is kind of gets you excited.
Right.
Was it my benefit on stage? I don't know. I think my back looks a lot better now that I'm using heavy weights again. But it was fun. It kept it challenging. And whatever it is in life, you know, and if it's fashion, whatever it is, you know, that gets you excited, that's important to have something like that. And that's one thing that maybe why there's so much camaraderie and so much positivity. How many people have something they just love that they're still doing as they get older? Very few people after high school even have something that they just love and they just keep doing.
That is true.
We are, you know?
Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, I still love this, the game. I mean, I still go in. I opened my own gym, and I have for years. You know, I'm the first one there. I have a sick little brain. I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I'm at the gym at 4. Nice. I don't have to be there that early, you know. But
that is fantastic.
It's wired in, and I still love doing that. But I tell you what, I love now doing it in a way that I ask myself a question. I think that sometimes, as you go through life, at least for me, I question everything. As part of my creed, question everything.
Yeah.
And I ask myself, okay, this is stuff that I love to do, but how am I relative in this industry at this point? I'm certainly not going to be that guy that's going to be in the gym and hitting poses anymore. I don't want to do that. I did that. But what I can do now is I can share my information, the knowledge that I've gotten over the years. And you know what? That is a big, huge turn on for me. And doing this podcasting is my way back into the industry now, because, you know, like it or not, I have my opinion about stuff, and there's a lot to be said for experiencing something and learning from that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know about you, but my dad used to tell me, you're just young and dumb, son, but you'll learn someday, you know, and I understand what he meant now, you know, now that I'm this far along in the industry. But, you know, I can tell, and I can tell with everybody that I've met in the INBA, PNBA, that you guys have a love for the game. I said that when I was up on stage on the mic. I said, I can tell you guys are all doing this for the love of the game. And you know, what most people don't maybe understand, you and I do, is that we are excited about getting up today and going to the gym and doing the stuff that we do as we did when we first started. At least I am.
I think even more so. And that's exactly. And I say the whole group of us that are doing, and you see that there's a couple of people, Rob DeLuca from Canada. I don't know if you saw him, competed stage 4 cancer.
Oh, I think and so.
He looked fantastic. Roland Martinez came back, you know, from cancer, same thing. And they still love it and it doesn't matter. And we all have that same spirit where we, you know, this is something we absolutely love. I'm more passionate about it now than ever because I also see the health benefits on top of it. You know, and for me, it's not about placing or what, you know, I've done fine in the sport, but it's not about that. It's really about the whole experience. Did I contribute to it, to everybody's experience? One reason I'm taking the pictures, and did I enjoy the whole experience? Yeah, if you do well, it's icing on the cake, but it's not what it's about at all. It's really, did I have a great time? Did I help others to have a great time? Did I help promote the lifestyle? And that's it. And I think a lot of people really feel that way.
I think that's your, that's probably a better outlook that you have, seriously, you know, and that, again, that doesn't take away from any, you know, let you being someone who's not as competitive as the next guy, because you are, because to get up on that stage, you have to be competitive.
And with myself too.
With yourself. You know? Well, you're being competitive to yourself and accountable to yourself. And you have all these people that are supporting you. It's a big supporting cast. So I get it, man. And I applaud you. And
thanks.
You know, you're one of the guys I met and we talked a little bit afterwards, and you know, I've just been blown away. So where do you go from here now? Besides competing in more events, do you have anything that sort of is your goal now?
It's a great question. I'd like to find a way to travel a little bit more with the sport, because, you know, I love the international competitors, and I did go before to New Zealand with Denny. That was unbelievable. In Germany once with another organization. I just absolutely love the idea of traveling. But you know, the question, how could I make a big impact on people on beyond who are maybe not engaged in the sport? How to get the public moving, how to show the benefits of activity. I'd like to be a bigger force for that. I love gym class, for instance. I thought it was the greatest, but I also thought they did it wrong. Like, they were concentrating on people like me who are going to do it anyway. I'm still doing it. And often would make fun of the kids who are out of shape or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, those are the ones you want to concentrate on. You want to get them just get do some activity. Yeah. I'd like to really concentrate on those people, getting people moving. And then I'll probably continue to do some writing. Again, I've written for magazines for many years now. And in addition to, you know, taking pictures and probably getting out and do a little speaking, whether it's seminars or something to promote the importance of this. And so to the public, to the general public, that's where I really want to get people moving. So that's what I see kind of what, how I can contribute, you know, to society, I think is that to show the benefits of how well people age.
No, and you're, well, obviously you're a good example of that. So, you know, show and tell, why not? I told Danny, I said, because again, I went into this thing, I really had the expectations that I had and what I walked away from was totally different. I was, I mean, you know, I told Danny, I said, look, I want to be in the middle of this somehow, some way. And because I don't know how I'm going to fit into that, the natural movement, let's just call it that. But I want to be there every step of the way, because this is the right, in my opinion, this is the right way to go to, you know, to include more people and to make it more of a lifestyle that you can enjoy for a long time. So, you know, so I think you guys are right on the money. And I tell you what, you are among the other people that I met. You guys are good guys and good people, good women, Nora. I mean, just it's across the board. And that says something about the leader, about Denny. And, you know, something, he was a class act for me there. He made sure that he knew that I had a booth there. He came by, you know, he said, anything that I, that you need, you let me know. I mean, it was, you guys were all real and authentic. And that means something. That means a lot. You know,
he's a visionary and he's always been inclusive of people. I mean, that's the thing. I've loved this. And there's been a spot for everybody in the sport. And he's always been that way. And he always thought big, and none of us would have these relationships without, you know, his vision about thinking bigger, because thinking bigger got it to be international. And that just changes the whole thing. And when I mentioned physical challenge, my friend Paul Hemby, spinal bifida, tremendous athlete. And then he inspired somebody from Ireland who comes over to do the universe. And it's that kind of thing, you know, and they were so excited to meet in person. And that's the kind of thing this is all about every single time, you know. So
very cool.
And then Rob Terry, the guy you saw him, the big wrestler who did, he got second, he won the Olympia a few times.
I interviewed him this past Tuesday. Good guy.
Oh my God. He's such a great guy. I've done a lot of writing, and he probably was my favorite, you know, article I ever wrote, because his passion just shined through.
Oh yeah.
And I had to listen to it over and over to write it, you know, and, but every time I get more and more excited. And so, but anyway, he was inspired by seeing Kiyoshi Moody poster. Like, you just don't know what's going to grab you, what's going to get what's going to get somebody else to end up taking this lifestyle up.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
that's what it's all about, is to keep, you know, helping each other to come and join us. So I think everything you experienced, we all experienced too for years. Like I wish I would have done them all, but I've done 11 Olympias, you know, it was a few years I didn't with kids and everything.
Yeah.
But each one it gets, or maybe it's 12, I guess it's 12 by now. Each one gets better and better.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it really, that I get a chance to do this and hang out with these people.
Yeah. Well, I told my, you know, my partner that was in the booth, I said, you know what, this event, meaning the International Olympia, this took us, immediately made us global, like right now. And of course, you know, yeah, with social media. And the thing that was really surprising to me, humbling actually, is I've been out of the industry for a long time and people knew about Serious Growth Training. They knew about,
yeah,
it, you know, and it's like, man, now to be back in it and being global and being with this organization, I told my guys here, I said, I'll put a jetpack on my back because I want to be right in the middle. So I guess the good and bad news is that you might be seeing me around here.
That's fantastic.
You know, in the next year, at least for sure. And I want to be at all the events. I mean, I plan on going to South Africa with Ken. And,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, just again, I want to get it all. When I get into that, this like this on this level, I go all in, way in, and I want to get it. You know, I want all of it now. I want to be right in the middle. And you guys got a good thing going on, man.
Oh, that is fantastic. Hey, I had a guy, Howard Kledingbol from South Africa, stay with me at one of the Olympias. And it was one of the craziest times. I mean, that's the kind of camaraderie. When are you going to get that?
Yeah, you know.
And he's the kind of guy, he paints up his face and his head to do deadlifts, and he's screaming, and he owns a gym out there. I mean, it's these characters you're just not going to meet otherwise, and they're the greatest people. You know?
Beautiful thing, man. But listen, I really do appreciate you coming today. I know it would be, you know, we talked a lot when we were in Vegas. Let me ask you this on this podcast. Do you have anything that you'd like to promote? Now's the time to do it. If you have something that you're into and you want to get it out there. I just saw I did an interview just before you. Have you heard of that movie called Fathead?
I don't think so.
Okay. He's the guy that do you remember that movie called Super Size Me?
Yes.
Okay, this guy, I would highly recommend that you watch this guy's movie, Fathead. And I just interviewed him, you know, but
nice.
lots of interesting people. So, Eric, I appreciate you coming on. And maybe sometime we're going to meet again, I hope.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure I'll see you at the events, number one. And I know everyone's going to welcome you with open arms at every one of these. And I hope to get out a lot this year.
Are you going to go? You know, Nora has some events that she puts on. Was it in March or April? April. She does them in April, doesn't she?
I think she's more Southern Cal, right? She has a couple events. Yeah. I don't know yet. I haven't really sort of figured out the schedule yet. I'd like to go to more this year, though. I'd like to be more involved.
Okay.
For sure. So we'll kind of see how it goes.
Yeah. I plan on being at that one. They have a judges clinic they're going to put on in March. And I'm planning on going to that. I'm going to be like at this ease. So just watch out for me. Okay.
Oh no. You know what? We love people that really are passionate and join it. And we really have a tight community. I mean, everyone's going to support you.
Beautiful.
100%. So that's the way it is. And the fact you're going to travel to some of it, it's even better.
Hell yes.
But I don't, you know, you're going to ask me, you know, do I have anything to promote? I don't have anything to promote other than more and more camaraderie between the athletes. And I hope people come, you know, into IMBA, if they have any interest, they certainly can contact me because it's definitely been a wonderful thing throughout. Now, I guess this is my 30th year with them or 31st year with the organization. And it's just, I've gotten so much out of it. I really, really appreciate having this opportunity, and others can get the same experience for sure.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you have a website that people can contact you? Or
I don't, you know, I'm on Facebook Eric Lipton and on Instagram. And you can find, you know, like on Facebook, I've got less 10 Olympias, I think. I've got lots of pictures out there.
Yeah.
So you can see the camaraderie. So I invite people to take a look and to be a part of it in the future. Feel free to reach out to me because if you got questions about the organization or about natural bodybuilding in general. So.
Very good. All right, man. Well, listen, I really do appreciate you coming on. I hope you have a really good new year. coming up.
Thank you. You too. And I'm excited for it.
Right on. And we'll be talking soon. Okay.
Hey, thanks so much, Leo. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Right. See ya. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.